This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the very top of the show, we played We Are Scientists, This Scene Is Dead.
Now, I hope that song wasn't in reference to the lesbian dating scene.
Oh, well, I figure I'd start off negative.
Dave. Oh, don't be like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so in case you guys aren't privy to this, for the last few weeks, Jade has been stewing on this idea of, where are the lesbians?
Mm-hmm.
She's been asking me almost on a daily, weekly basis, where are all the single lesbians? I mean, I'm about to break into a Beyonce song right now just to answer that question, but I don't know. I don't know where all the lesbians are, Jade.
And this is my problem, right? Because all of my friends are guys.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like equally at a loss as to where they are. And it's not just the single ones. Where are the ones in relationships? I don't know where they are.
So that's our mission tonight. We're trying to find the lesbians.
Yeah.
So you get, if you guys know where they are, if you've seen one, if you walk past one in the supermarket today.
Yeah, we would like to know.
We would like to know. We're going to set up a map.
Yeah. I was saying today, you know, I get a bit web nerd at times, that I was going to, as a community service, I was going to plot little markers on a Google map. For everyone.
It's a community service to find our fellow lesbians because apart from Jade, I don't know where they are. I mean, we have a couple of good lesbian friends, of course, mm-hmm. but we're talking on a whole, you know, we're talking about a whole scene.
Yeah.
Is it underground? Is it somewhere else? Surely can't just be Northcote.
Yes.
I mean,
we would like to know. Please tell us.
And on tonight's playlist, we thought just to facilitate a little.
Yes.
Just to facilitate. We're going to play
hopefully
some,
bring them out.
Yeah. Well, you're playing Tegan and Sarah, so surely they'll come, right? That works, right? I don't know. Every time I play Kylie, the boys come knocking at my car window. It's either Kylie or Danny Minogue. Sometimes Danny's more effective.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I got to
test it. I'm learning stuff.
You are.
I need to learn stuff like this about how to find the lesbians.
In the meantime, coming up later, Jade, you are going to check out the brand new season of The United States of Tara.
Yes, I am.
The madness continues?
It does continue. It's only one episode in. The second episode airs tonight after our show, so you can still listen to our show and go and watch it.
I know. We wouldn't talk about a TV show if it clashes with our own show.
Wouldn't do it.
Absolutely not. Nah. It doesn't exist. Yep. This is Different Strokes Hour.
Yep.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we're asking where are all the lesbians? People are already telling us.
I know. It's really interesting because I know you've got your map out.
Yeah.
You're trying to plot them.
I am.
It's going to be a bit trickier, Jade.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky because some people are not really answering the question.
They're not.
But I appreciate the fact that they're trying.
Yes.
Because this is a very worthy cause.
Yeah.
You and I are out to find the lesbians. We're trying to find where they are. The single lesbians, the lesbians that are nesting, where are they?
Yeah.
We've got some suggestions.
Julian says, trust me, decent single gay guys are just as hard to find.
Amen to that, sister. I hear you.
I'm going to disagree. I see plenty all the time.
Yeah, you have your posse of gay boys.
And they're all single.
Okay, all right. Well, you know.
And all very available.
Okay, Jade, now you're trying to sound like a pimp, but that's okay. Okay. I know you look out for your friends.
I'll take resumes. and then Loz says that all the lesbians are at home in the northern burbs, hanging with their 4 cats and 2.5 dogs.
Not helping, Loz. Not helping
so
at all.
Plot random point just there.
But in any case, look, Jade, tonight you're going to watch some TV.
Yes, I am going to watch some TV. A couple of weeks back, I'd been meaning to watch it for ages, United States of Tara, season one. I bought it on DVD and I watched it all like within the space of a couple of days. So for those who don't know, United States of Tara stars Toni Collette, is written or created by Diablo Cody, who's probably most famous for Juno.
Juno, the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's about this woman who has multiple personality disorder and her family and sort of all of her experiences with her alters. It's kind of a drama / comedy series. It's half an hour.
Now, what I want to know is how is Toni Collette going with playing these? Is it 4 different characters, 4 different personalities that she has
playing,
to embody?
Yeah, so she's obviously playing, you know, her actual personality.
Yeah.
And then there are the sort of three alter egos.
Yes. Other personalities that she's got in there.
Yes.
Yep.
And so
what's her acting like? That's what I want to know.
She's very, very good. I mean, she won an Emmy
and a Golden Globe as well.
Yes, an Emmy and a Golden Globe.
Yeah. For this role
Yeah. So she's very, very good. I mean, Toni Collette is very good in everything that she does, but she plays it quite well. It's very subtle. It's not kind of overacted at all. It was really good. The first season, it's about 13 episodes, the first season.
That's really short, isn't it?
Yeah, similar season is season two. Season two is already finished in the US and it's only just started here on the ABC. It started last week. It was the first episode and the second episode is tonight. Mm-hmm. But they kind of do 13 half-hour episodes. It's very kind of, it feels like there's so much more to explore.
So run me through this for those of us who haven't watched the United States of Tara. What are the other characters that her alter personalities? What are they? A teenage girl.
There's a teenage girl.
So she's a middle-aged mama in the burbs.
Yeah.
And one of her alter personalities is a teenage girl.
Who's about 15. There's also a guy who's a Vietnam vet.
Really?
Yes. There's sort of this 50s style housewife.
Oh, dear. Almost like a Stepford wife.
Yes. And there's another couple of alters that are kind of on the periphery. I'm not going to tell you too much about them because it kind of will ruin the storyline.
Oh, will it? Okay.
Yeah. So there are some others. And I have heard that there's another one that's going to show up in season two at some point. I don't know anything about them.
Now, the interesting thing is that her character was diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
Is it a real thing, Jade?
Well, see, this is one of the things. So her sister, this character that Toni Collette is playing has a sister who is, she kind of is always saying, oh, it's not a real disease. It's not real. It's not real, like throughout the whole thing, you know. So she refuses, whereas, like, you know, her husband and her 2 kids are very, like, very much, you know, they live with this every day and they kind of go, they will accept the personalities when they come out and will kind of have different dynamics and relationships with each of those personalities. Whereas her sister will be like, oh, it's not real, you know, refuses to call her by her, you know, just continues to call her Tara, not by her alter name, whereas the other, you know, characters will. It's so it's quite interesting. It is an actual disease. It is a real disease.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So with season two rolling out now, what are your predictions? Have you got any, have you had a peek? Have you read something?
I have tried not to read anything because it's quite, the way the show goes, I'm finding it a bit weird watching an episode week to week.
Because you're so used to having the whole series in front of you.
And it's very kind of like you want to know what's happening. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff kind of happens and then you're trying to figure it out. And you're like, oh, like the first couple of episodes of season one, you'll just sit there and be like, what's going on here?
Just a bit bewildering. Yeah. Okay.
And so it's kind of one of those things that you want to be able to watch in big chunks. So I'm going to be interested to see how I handle this whole new idea of I'm going to watch it actually on TV. I very rarely watch TV on TV.
Different Strokes Flashback, bringing pop culture back from the yesteryears.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. I haven't heard that for ages, and then I was like, is this our show for a minute?
Yeah, it is. You know, what I did a couple of weeks ago was I ended up revamping a couple of our segment intros. And
yeah.
You know, I gave the flashback one a facelift.
I was going to say, it sounded, last time I heard, I'm sure it sounded a bit more Austin Power-ish.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where you get these inspirations from, because they're certainly not my inspirations.
Well, you know, that's the whole point. We see different things in the same thing.
So tonight on Different Strokes, we've been playing flirt songs, or songs of a flirty lyrical nature.
Yeah.
Songs about dancing and picking up and meeting someone special.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're trying to get the message out there, Joy Melbourne. We're trying to get the word out there. Where are all the lesbians?
Yes.
Jade is looking.
We want to know. Tell us. Please tell us.
We've had a couple of people tweeting and messaging.
Yes,
you know, they have an idea.
They seem to be teasing us. That's all they're doing. Like, someone has tweeted to say that Sarah is saying that she is in Oakley. Mm-hmm. That we can put her on our map. She said there are some others down there too, but they're all very young because of Monash Uni.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, it depends on what you like, Jade, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you can saunter down there. Hey, I used to be sexuality officer at Monash,
yeah.
So I don't know.
You've got connections down.
Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'm
multiple
not...
plots on that map.
Yeah. I'm not willing to abuse my power. But in any case, look, tonight we're taking a flashback and we're checking out Pixar films. Jade, last night I went and watched Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was brilliant. It just brought me all the way back about 10 years or so.
Don't ruin it for me. I'm going to go see it.
I know, but can I just ask? I know we've been doing this show for years, but mm-hmm. What's your stance on kids animated movies? Are you in or out?
I'm in.
You're totally in?
I'm in.
It's really strange because I went with my boyfriend and I went with my little brother. He's about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend said to me, I think you're enjoying it more than the kids are.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's a family movie. He's just like, but you know, you kind of grow out of these things. I'm like, these are all very universal themes.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to love them.
Yes.
They're meant to speak to you no matter who you are, how old you are.
The adults are the ones that are paying the money and sitting through it with the kids. So you have to appeal to them.
And that's one thing I noticed about Pixar films. So in case you're oblivious to what they are, Pixar is the name of the American animation film company who's responsible for all these great CGI animated films like Toy Story, Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Ratatouille. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
Ratatouille is brilliant.
I know you go on about it all the time.
I love Ratatouille. Monsters, Inc., Up, which was another tearjerker, by the way.
Yeah.
And Wall-E. Yeah. Wall-E.
I haven't seen that one either.
You see, Jade, we need like a movie marathon night where we can just get all these DVDs out.
Yeah.
Reminisce on the good old Pixar films. But, you know, the reason why I chose it as a flashback was because Toy Story 3 came out last week and it became the highest grossing opening weekend for a Pixar film ever.
Really?
Yeah. So it's the biggest Pixar movie based on opening weekend sales.
Okay.
It made $110 million.
Ouch.
$110 million. And it is also the single highest opening day gross for an animated film ever.
Huh.
So for an animated film, they've never seen that many sales on one day ever before.
And this is like the third installment.
This is the third installment. And I think it was always bankable. Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2 both did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that they waited just the right amount of time to come back with Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think it's mainly for people our age. It's for our generation.
And soon enough, we're going to see like the fourth Shrek, right?
Yeah, the fourth Shrek. You know what was funny? The third Shrek was, before Toy Story 3 came about, the third Shrek was the highest first day sales ever for an animated movie.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was shocking because I thought the third Shrek was the worst.
It was the worst.
And I'm not even going to watch the fourth one.
Yeah.
Shrek 1, Shrek 2 was great. They were both great, but I can't watch the third or
let alone the fourth. I've heard the fourth is a return to form, but I could be wrong.
Oh, you know what? They've lost me there.
Yep.
But in any case, you know, just a bit of history on Pixar films. They came into prominence in the year 1995. So that was the year Toy Story came out. That was their first movie. And they've had 10 feature films since then. Now, they have a habit of kind of putting out a movie every year, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ever since Finding Nemo, which was the biggest success,
yeah,
they've been putting out a movie every year. Do you remember Finding Nemo?
Yes, I do. It's quite funny. I watch a lot of Alan, and Alan is always going on about how, when are they going to make a sequel to Finding Nemo? They've made sequels to all the other films, but not Finding Nemo.
She just wants to get back on that. Yeah,
she wants back in the big screen.
She wants to be. And Ellen was really good. And, you know, they had like Rove McManus making a cameo in that movie as well.
In the Australian release, yes.
What? Really? So are you telling me that it wasn't international?
No.
Really?
No.
What about Tracy Grimshaw?
No. So, like, you know, they're smaller roles.
Yeah.
What they will normally do in those is they'll recast them with local actors in or local personalities.
How sneaky, just to get the locals to come in and see their people.
Yeah. So in the, like, American release or whatever, it wouldn't have been Rove.
Oh, come on. You should keep the Aussies in there because, the Finding Nemo was based in Sydney.
Yeah.
You got to have the Aussie accents.
They wouldn't understand the accent.
It's not that hard, really. But
subtitles would definitely be involved.
Subtitles would be involved. It's not like Rove has a very broad accent, you know. If you cast, like, you know, any of the Kath and Kim characters in there.
Not Julia Gillard.
Or Julia Gillard, then we might need subtitles. So, yeah, Finding Nemo was the biggest Pixar film ever. It made about $800 million worldwide. So that's heaps. Heaps and heaps. And what's in store for the future, Jade, you kind of hinted at it. You're right. They're going to make more sequels.
Yeah.
So in 2011, because they, you know, Pixar normally does, you know, they normally make one movie a year. 2011, we're going to see Cars 2.
Okay.
And 2012, get this, Monsters, Inc. 2.
Huh.
I loved Monsters, Inc. So the sequel better be good.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, if it's worth waiting 2 years for, I will stick by it and I'll go and see it when it comes out.
Culture, the attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We just played Winter Gordon Lady.
Oh, dear. And we are looking for some lady love tonight, aren't we? How's that for a segue?
That felt a bit weird, you saying that.
What, me saying lady love or just the words lady love?
Yeah, you saying it.
I vow to never say it again.
Yeah.
In the meantime, look, we've got a couple of SMSs here. Yeah. We asked, where are all the lesbians?
We'd like to know.
We're trying to plot a map here.
Come on, help your community.
This is a community service announcement. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So we've had someone text in and say, all the single lesbians are in hiding, waiting for their next U-Haul. Lesbians don't usually come out in public unless they are taken or looking for something on the side. So are you suggesting that all of the lesbians are already paired up?
I mean, okay, I don't know a lot about the lesbian dating scene, but what I have noticed is that they tend to pair up really quickly.
They come in pairs, yes.
Yeah, they pair up really quickly and they settle down and they nest.
Yeah.
It seems to be something lesbians like to do. And, I mean, I'm so used to going out to gay clubs and all that. So, for me, the scene seems really huge. But you raised a very interesting point before, Jade, when you said, oh, you know, where's the lesbian equivalent? You know, there are gay clubs out there with all these massive, you know, there's such a massive scene out in Melbourne and all that. But where do all the lesbians go?
Yeah, where do they go? And what are they doing? I assume that there's...
It's a mystery.
Okay, first of all, I don't know anything about the statistics, but are there the same amount of lesbians as there are gay men?
That's really hard to argue. I'm not sure about that either.
And see, this is the thing, right? Because all of my friends are guys and they like to give me guy style advice about being a guy, you know, out and looking for
so
men.
Do you feel like the advice you're getting from your gay boys aren't exactly appropriate to be used in a lesbian context?
Okay, let me start with your piece of advice, Dave.
My advice?
Which was very sweet. I thought it was very sweet that your advice was effectively Hollywood lesbians, right? That I should be looking at Hollywood lesbians because Hollywood have nice lesbians, right? And to start that, I should start following them on Twitter. After I said, where do I find, how do you suppose I get myself a Hollywood lesbian? You said, well, start following them on Twitter. Like, this is, I love that you think it's realistic for me to, like, land myself a Hollywood lesbian, but.
Come on, Jade. our friendship goes so much deeper than that. I've given you so many advice, and the one you remember is to find Hollywood lesbians on Twitter.
Well, it was.
That is not the extent of my gold nuggets of wisdom, guys. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm good with this stuff, but I must have had an off day.
Yeah.
But how are you going stalking Ellen?
Yeah, it's you know, she's got, what, 3 or 4 million stalkers, so it's going really well.
So, okay, we can scratch Hollywood lesbians. Let's try to start locally. What are some of the other advice, though, that you've gotten from your gay boys?
Okay, I've had smile because all the smiles are for you.
Oh, I want to write that on a Hallmark card.
Yeah. Again, how do I know that the smile is – when do I know a smile is just a smile, and how do I know that smile is for me?
Usually if they're smiling at you, Jade, you know that smile is for you. But I really like that advice because it's something I apply. Because I think that, you know, if you don't know what to say, often the best thing you can do is just smile.
Yeah.
If you're the only one in a room, smile and look approachable, look pleasant.
But how do I know that the smile is for me? See, this is the thing.
Jade.
So the nugget of the idea, the nugget of the problem is, Dave, I was in a relationship for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like the world has passed me by.
No.
And everything's changed, right? And you're back at square one.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to tell the violinist to hold it because we're not ready for that sad tune.
I'm not feeling – I love hanging out with the boys. I love going out on the weekend and dancing, but where are all the other girls? That's what I want to know.
I know. You're a woman. You have needs.
Yes.
But I can't answer that. Look, I love having you hang out with us, Jade. I love it. But sometimes I do think, you know, where are all the lesbians? Where are the lesbians at the gay clubs? Do lesbians go gay clubbing?
Yes.
We don't.
Well, because there are a couple of lesbian venues, and I will admit that I've been to a couple of them, but I find them a bit. I prefer the guy clubs.
Why is that, Jade? Let's address that. Why would you prefer to go to gay clubs as opposed to lesbian venues?
Okay, because you know how a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the group groove.
Okay, the group groove, which was the thing.
A group of people dancing all together in a club.
Yep.
I feel like the whole lesbian venue is a group groove and I'm not invited.
No.
No, you know, like it just feels like everyone kind of knows each other.
Is the lesbian scene really small?
Well, I don't know because I wouldn't quite count myself as part of the scene and therefore I'm a bit confused about what's going on there.
Wasn't one of the advice given to you to network?
Yes. Another thing I was told was don't worry about friends. Don't worry about, you know, trying to find someone or whatever. Worry about friends because that will improve your connections, right? And through connections, you'll meet more people and, you know, networking and all of that kind of stuff. So
that's a very good advice.
Yeah?
It's a very good advice. Expand your network. It makes sense, Jade.
Here's a question for you then, Dave.
If everyone out there knows a lesbian, then hello, you're in luck. Just make more friends. Someone's got to know someone who's single. And
I thought I had enough friends, but apparently I don't because none of them seem to know any lesbians.
Well, you need to be selective about your friends.
So here's another dilemma for you, Dave. So I decided that I was going to apparently give my phone number out to people randomly at clubs.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Well, yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Shameless.
Is that okay?
No.
It's not okay?
No.
But what if I'm trying to expand my circle?
I don't know. For me, it's a privacy thing.
How am I supposed to expand my circle, Dave?
If you don't give your number out.
Well, if...
Tell them to follow you on Twitter.
Okay.
Something less invasive.
Do you have any piece of advice that doesn't involve Twitter?
I don't know. I think love happens on Twitter. And I have friends who have found their current partners on Twitter by just following them and...
Love happens on Twitter. I'm going to write that down. That's something I want to put on, like, on some sort of pillow or commemorative mug.
God. Okay, Jade, when you make it, we can have those mugs. But in the meantime, expand your network. So I don't know if going out to clubs and giving your number out is such a good idea.
I thought it was a good idea.
I don't know. You have to be selective about it. Don't give it to some drunk hoe that doesn't know what's going on. Please.
Hey, if they choose to use it the next day, they've obviously remembered.
Ah, girl, have some self-respect. What are some of the other advice you've been given?
Let's see what else I've been given. I've been given, don't look and you'll find it. Everyone gets that, don't they?
I hate that. Do you know what? When I used to be single and people used to say, oh, love will find you when you're least expecting it. I'm just like... Q-pop ballad.
Yeah.
Really? Really? That is so insincere.
Or some cheesy 90s rom-com.
I don't believe in that. Okay, first of all, you know why? There's nothing more annoying than being a single person looking for love and have someone say to you, don't look, it'll find you.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I'm not going to sit back. I'm sorry.
They might as well pat you on the head and say, they're there.
They're there. Exactly. No, I'm sorry. If you have to be in it to win it.
Yep.
You have to be in it to win it. I'm sorry. Don't take it lying down.
So we've had so many people want to contribute, right?
I know. There's so many suggestions on where we can find our fellow lesbians out there and whatnot.
Someone is saying go to the Darabin St Kilda game, a women's footy game on a Sunday. Darabin Wag represent. Oh, okay.
I don't know. You're into sports. So
I am into sports.
You can expand your network.
See, that to me seems like a valuable piece of advice.
Okay.
It's not vague. It's not smile because all the smiles are for you, because that's vague. How do I use that in a real world way? That's what I want to know. I want nuts and bolts ways to use things. See, at least your Twitter following thing, that's something that I can actually do.
And you can go and watch women's football games.
Yep, there you
go. That's a very good tip. So forget hanging out at bars and giving your numbers to strangers.
Yep.
Go to football games.
Dave, that's what we're going to do on the weekend, you and I. I've got to have a wingman.
Oh, damn. How did I get myself tied up? I'm really sorry. I feel a headache coming on. I got to wash my hair.
I'd do it for you.
Okay, the idea of me at a, you know, women's football match. I just feel that I feel emasculated.
Yeah. The Twitter is going nuts.
Look, you just played Tegan and Sarah, yes, sentimental tune. If the lesbians aren't coming, I mean, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. We've played Tegan and Sarah. If the lesbians aren't flooding in now, I don't know what will get them.
I don't know. We're at a loss, Dave.
We're at a loss.
It's over.
It's over. It's a lost cause if the lesbians aren't flooding in right now.
Yes. But we have had people tweeting us.
Yep.
Andrew has said that, Dave, you're making him laugh so much because the love will find you.
I don't believe in love will find you.
Yes.
Make it happen, people. And Andrew actually SMS'd in before saying
he
that.
He did. And he
He's got some really good advice here. He said, you know, it is difficult at first, but you just got to take a chance with meeting new people. And sometimes there are some horrors out there, but sometimes you find decent people, he said.
Well, see, then I think it's okay for me to randomly give out my number then.
Do what you will, but if somebody be stalking you and filling up your voicemail with all these filthy messages.
You know what, Dave? I've had the same phone number for 10 years. I haven't been stalked once.
Well, things are about to change drastically. Just you wait.
And we've also had Sarah on the Twitter who's saying that she was offended that I called Oakley the outer suburbs.
Oh.
Yes.
I know, Sarah. I know what you mean. I live further out than Oakley, so
I don't.
I must be like as far out as Sunbury to Jade.
Yeah. See, Sarah. Like the thing is, outer suburbs is like code word for like I don't even understand where Oakley is.
Oh my goodness! But she did say that, you know, how is it possible that we have a show on Joy?
Yes.
And for you to not know, I can't find any lesbians.
There are, okay, Sarah.
She says that she's come to think of Joy as the Mecca.
There are lesbians here at Joy. I'm not gonna like say that there's no lesbians at Joy. There are lesbians at Joy. They're either taken or just, you know, friendly. That's it.
Nothing happening there, is it?
Yeah. It's not the Mecca that you've come to expect, Sarah. Not to disappoint.
Yeah, sorry, Sarah. People don't come here making a pilgrimage.
It's not a pilgrimage that people don't come here to pick up. I don't know of any relationships that have blossomed.
I can't speak for lesbians, but I know the gay boys come here and magic happens.
I know what happens with the boys. I don't know about the girls.
I think with gay boys, it can happen anywhere. It can be at a servo. It can be at a pantomime. Yeah. It can be anywhere, really.
Yeah. Magic happens everywhere for the boys.
In the Labour Party caucus meeting, it can happen there too, Jade. You know, gay boys make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do, Jade. You need to get yourself out there and make things happen, sister.
Do I need to act like a gay boy? Because I don't think that's going to work for me.
I don't think promiscuity is the answer, but I think being available.
Yes.
And exploring your options.
Even at a service station.
Even at a service station. So seedy.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.